Good morning and Chodesh Tov. Hope we're all doing very well today. It's Rosh Chodesh, what a treat. And let's begin learning together. We're on the top of Tez Zayin Amud Beis. Kedesha Yera'ela, Mayim, about 10 lines down from the two dots. We're going to be discussing Mitzora a little bit more here. The connection, of course, between Mitzora and Sota, the karbanos that are brought and the way that that process works. And then we're going to continue on to Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, to the Mishnah. Continue along with the process of the Sota, writing the Megillah, writing the Psukim down. We have a little treat today in terms of, all Gemara is a treat, but there's some Agadata that's tucked into some very famous lines that are tucked into our daf today on the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, and we continue on with the process. So as we get started with the Mitzora, I just thought I'd give a little bit of an overview once again. The Mitzora is somebody who has Tzaras. The most famous story of Tzaras was, of course, Miriam. Miriam in the desert contracted Tzaras because of the Lashon Hara she spoke about Moshe, about her brother Moshe. She spoke some Lashon Hara. In her way, that was Lashon Hara. It was a very, very minute form of Lashon Hara, as we know the story. She was discussing it with her brother Aaron about Moshe separating from his wife, Tzipporah. Anyways, she got Tzaras. Now, the purification process of Tzaras is that the person who has Tzaras brings two birds to the Kohen. That's the way the process begins. One bird is slaughtered, okay? That blood is mixed with, that blood gets accepted inside of a kli cheres, an earthenware vessel. That earthenware vessel has mayim chayim, has spring water inside of it. So there's spring water, there's blood inside the vessel. And then the other bird is taken along with what we've been discussing, just to add some context. Some color, the other bird is taken along with the, right? The words that we had were the hyssop, the scarlet wool, right? The tolas shani, and the other thing was azo, the hyssop, the scarlet wool, and the cedar tree, right? So there's those three things are taken along with the other bird. They're dipped inside of this mixture of blood and spring water, they're sprinkled onto the Mitzora to begin the purification process. I believe after 7 days or so, the Mitzora gets its first shave. That's the shave that we were discussing. So let's continue on. That just adds a little bit of color and a little bit of context to the Mitzora and the purification process in there. Somebody asked me yesterday after the shir what it's all about, so it's good to give an overview. Kedesha Yera'eh Ala Mayim. We're discussing still the Sota, which, and now we're going to get into the Mitzora. There should be enough dirt, as we said, brought in from the Azara area underneath the tile, so that it can be seen on the water. Tana Rabbanan, Shlosha Tzrichin Sheyira'u. There are three things that need to be seen, so to say. What are they? Afar Sota, the earth, the dirt of the Sota, when it's mixed with the water. Afar Para, the ashes of the Para Aduma. The ash goes into the water. It also creates a mixture. Those ashes have to be seen. Verok Yevama, and the spit of a Yevama when she's performing Chalitza and she spits onto her Yevam's shoe. Mishum Rebbe Shmuel Amru, in the name of Rebbe Shmuel, they add on one more. Af Dam Tzipor, so to the Dam Tzipor, which is the carbon of the Mitzora, right? So this blood that we said, the first bird that's slaughtered, the blood needs to be mixed with the water before the next round of stuff get mixed inside of that mixture, and that blood must be seen inside of the water. My time of Rabbi Shmuel. Why does Rabbi Shmuel say it must be mixed? Right, and then because it says that they're going to mix the subsequent things, which is the other bird and those three things, inside of the dam hatzipor, v'tanya bedam. Right? Yechol b'dam v'lo b'mayim. So maybe this meant the blood and not the water. Tam l'ver b'mayim. It says the water also. Imayim yechol b'mayim v'lo b'dam. So maybe it's the water and not the blood. Tam l'ver b'dam. Right? We go back and forth. Are they mixing it into the dam or are they mixing it into the water? Okay, so how do we reconcile the two? How do we put it all together? Maybe mayim shadam tzipar nikarbam. Ah, beautiful. In the name of Rabbi Shmuel here, right? It must be seen because we say that the water must be mixed with the dam together and the blood must be seen inside that mixture. It can't just be overwhelmed by the water and you can't really see it, but the blood must have somewhat of a significant substance to it. The kama, how much is that? Revius, it's a revius. That was all Rabbi Shmuel to show that blood must be seen. Rabbanon, what do the rabbis say who don't need the blood to be discernible in the mixture? So what do they do with the pasuk? Ahu legufe, right? That comes to teach us something for itself. Why d'hachi kama rachmana? This is what the Torah says. It's bil bedam uvemayim. The blood need not be seen, but it has to be mixed inside the blood and the water, right? There has to be blood and water, but you don't have to actually see the dam. Rabbi Yishmael, so what does Rabbi Yishmael say about that? Im kein lifta rachmana v'tava bahem. The Torah should just say, dip it in them, right? The blood and the water. But why specifically point out bedam uvemayim lamali? Why specifically or explicate the fact that it has to be mixed in the dam and in the water? Clearly, the nikar, says Rabbi Yishmael, that they must be discernible each, right? That the blood must be discernible in that mixture. V'rabbanon, because rachamana v'tava bahem, right? What do the rabbanon do about that, right? They seem to be ousted. No. If the Torah said, dip it in them, or dip them in them, hava mina ha'iluchudei v'ha'iluchudei. The rabbis say, no, I would have thought to say, maybe you have a separate mixture. You have blood in a klicheres, and you have water in a klicheres. But them two together, I don't know. Maybe l'chudei and l'chudei. Kasa rachamana v'dam u'b'mayim l'arvan. Therefore, the Torah says, blood and water are mixed together. They're mixed together. Beautiful. So again, what's the machlokas right now? Rabbi Shmuel says what? We have three things that must be discernible. Three things that must be discernible, says the Gemara. What are they? Blood in the water. In which case? That's a fourth, according to Rabbi Shmuel. Again, three things were the dirt of a sota, the afer, the ashes of the paraduma, and the rok yavaman, the spit of a yavam, or of the yavama on the yavam shoe. Then Rabbi Shmuel added on a fourth, also the dam of the mitzorah. The rabbanon argue and say, no, that's not. And we just went through about 6, 7, 8 lines or whatever to go back and forth between the different words in the Torah as to their both of their proofs why the dam either has to be discernible or not, but they both agree that there has to be dam in that water. The question is, does it have to be discernible or not? Rabbi Shmuel Arvan Kra Achrinuksiv, and Rabbi Shmuel, to mix them, there's a different pasuk. V'shachar asasipor achas v'chulu, right? That the bird gets slaughtered, so we know that it's mixed, so to say, inside the water. Ha echas indicates that it's mixed together. Rabban imehu, and the rabbis say, if we're going to learn it from there, av mina lishchete samach lamana. I would have thought maybe that the bird can be slaughtered next to the utensil. The ninkitinu livridin, and then the guy can like pinch the blood vessels with a kable ledam b'manachrina. Kamash malan. And therefore the blood can then be accepted in the other vessel. Kamash malan, not. Again, we're continuing back and forth with the proofs. Rabbi Shmuel says that the blood must be discernible in the water. The Rabbanon say not. This is by the Mitzorah. But of course, everybody agrees with the first three things on the Torah's list, the things that must be discernible. Boimine Rabbi Yirmiyah may Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks of Rabbi Zera. This is a question that's about to be... we're going to ask on the revius of dam, right? We just said that there must be a revius. So let's ask about the revius, about that amount. Gedola, right? What happens if there's a big bird, umadachas hasamayim, and it overwhelms the water? So there's now a ton of blood. It's just bloody. It just looks like pure blood. Ketana, or a very small bird, benitches mepnei hamayim. And that blood that gets in there, you can't really see it because it's very, very light. Mao, so what's the din? Amar lei, Rabbi Zera says, lav mina lachlo tepuk nafshe. Did I not tell you to like stop, you know, jumping out of the boundary of Allah? Like, what are you doing? But Sipor Dororish your Rabbanan, don't you know your Torah man? Guys, the rabbis gave us the kind of bird that has to be brought. That kind of bird is called a Doror bird, various interpretations as to what the Doror bird is. There's a type of bird. It's a specific amount. I guess that might be the revius amount. But anyways, we have that amount. And therefore, Ein Lecha Gedola Shemadecha Ses Amayim, there's not going to be a big one that's going to overwhelm the water. Ein Lecha Ketana Shenidcheis Mepnei Amayim, and there won't be a smaller one that would underwhelm the water. Toner Banan Hiktim Afar Lamayim, back to Sota here for a few lines before the Mishnah. Hiktim Afar Lamayim, what happens if the earth, so to say, came before the water? What did we say before? That there's a cup of water in an earthenware vessel, we filled it up from the kior. Remember we discussed the kior, the significance of the kior, the kiors from the women and the mirrors. Anyways, and then there's the water. So what happens if the dirt gets placed in there first and then the water comes next? Take a look at Rashi a few lines up, right? Hikdim ofar lamayim besota pasol. The Gemara is about to say pasol. Kidiksiv, as the Torah says, v'nosan el hamayim, that the dirt should be placed into the water. Alma mayim bereisha. So we see that the water should be first. Uksiv asla koines kol Torah zos dibin kiseder hakasav beparsha. Right. So we see that the first it says that the dirt must be placed in the water, and then there's another pasuk that says that the kohen has to do this whole thing, which seems to be in order. So it seems very indicative that the water is first and the dirt is added into the water. Rabbi Shimon argues and says it's okay. My time is Rabbi Shimon. The pasuk seems to go against him, as Rashi just brought down. Why does he hold his pshat? Diksiv v'lochu latamei me'afar srefas hachatas. Right, we had this pasuk yesterday. We discussed it. And that he should take for the tamei srefas from the ashes of the srefas hachatas, from the burning of the para aduma. Right? And afar here, this was the afar that we were discussing yesterday. Afar spelled here with an ayin, not an aleph. So maybe we can always have afar dirt, meaning afar, which is ashes. We had that discussion. V'tanya amar Rabbi Shimon v'chi afarhu v'lo eferhu. Isn't it ashes? It's not dirt. Shina kosa b'mashmo l'adonai menu gzer shava. The rabbis, so to say, tweak the word to show gzer shava. Nemar kan afar v'nemar l'an afar. It says afar over here by paraduma, and it says afar by sota. Mal alon afar al gabei mayim. So too, it's dirt on top of water. Afkan afar al gabei mayim. So too, by the paraduma, it's ashes on top of the water. Makan hikdim afar l'mayim kusher. Continues the Gemara, and just like over here, that if the dirt reaches the water first, it is kosher by the paraduma. Aflalon hikdim afar l'mayim kusher. So too, if the afar, the ashes, or the by the sota, the dirt comes first, it is kosher. The hasaminol, and where to know by the paraduma that it's kosher if the ashes come first? Trei kroy ksive. There's two psukim. Ksiv olov. That the Torah says the word olov. That the kohen should put the ashes on it. Alma efer bresha. So what do we see? That because it says on it, so maybe the afar, the ashes, the afer, is able to be first. Uksiv mayim chaim el keli. And it says that the spring water should be added right into the Kelly, which means that there's nothing else there. Amamayim Bresha. Okay, so how can it be both first? Rata Zenosein. Continues the Gemara. This is the Pshat according to Rabbi Shimon, that in Paraduma, the ashes can be put in first, then the water can be put on top of it. So too, he connects that back to Sota. He says that if the guy wants to put the ashes in first, great. The guy wants to put the water in first, that's great. Four lines up from the bottom of Tez Zayin Amad Beis. Rabbanan, what do the Rabbanan do with the words El Kelly? El Kel Dafka. No, really, the water has to be first. Alav L'Arvan. And the word Alav says that they're going to be mixed together. It says Gemara, Vayim Alav Dafka. Maybe Alav is going to be that the ashes are mixed together with the water. El Keli Shatei Chiyusan Bekli. And El Keli, some say that they're supposed to be mixed together. Mamasin V'chol Mako Machshir L'mala Afkan Machshir L'mala. No, it goes directly from the spring water into the Keli, and therefore that's the way we conclude. Rashi, three lines up from the bottom. Machshir L'mala Afarhu Hamachshir Samayim Livdokosam. It's the afar, it's the dirt that gets placed into the water to check the woman. Vechem dam tzipor shel mitzora. So to the dam tzipor of the mitzora, shem machshir samayim. Meaning, what is really machshir the water? What is really added into the water that makes it a kosher type of mixture that's able to check? Lahazo, afkan afar hamachshir esamayim. So again, just to conclude, we had two chunks on this amud. It really flowed beautifully. First one was about the three things that have to be seen. Three things that have to be seen were what again? The ashes of the paraduma, the dirt of a sota, and the spit of the yavam. Then, thank you, Eliezer, Rabbi Yishmael says that it's also the dam of the mitzora. Excellent. And we discussed a little bit of background into mitzora today. So that dam has to be seen also. We had a whole discussion as to whether or not that's the case. And the Rabbanim argue that it might not have to be seen. Right. And we had that discussion there. And then we just discussed here in terms of the back to sota, we had a discussion about whether or not the afar, if the dirt is placed into the water first. Sorry, if the dirt is placed into the kli first, is it kosher or not? We said, we had this whole thing, that we take the mayim chaim, we bring it, and we add the dirt in afterwards. And then we compared it to paraduma, and there's a machlokas here. Rabbi Shimon says it's okay, the Tanakhama said it was not, and we brought down their proofs. Now let's move on to the Mishnah on the top of Amud Aleph. Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Eli, I'm so excited. It's about 10 minutes in, and we're up to Amud Aleph. Baruch Hashem.
It's amazing.
Baruch Hashem. It's Rosh Chodesh. We're feeling it. Okay, but there's like a lot of Agadata, or the one bit of Agadata we have today is like towards the bottom of Amud Aleph, so I want to make sure we have a few moments for that. Says the Mishnah, we are back to the Sota process, back to the continuation of what's taking place. throughout her ordeal. Bolo l'kohen es ha-megillah. The Kohen comes to write the Megillah, right? Those psukim in the Torah, we'll see. Meza malkom u'kosev. From which psukim does he write? So feel free to take a look here in Parshas Noso again. Parak Hey starts in Pasuk Yud Aleph, and it goes on for a number of psukim. We've seen the psukim before. I'm not going to go through the psukim in depth, but we're going to just quote kind of which words are in, which words are out. There's three opinions as to what is actually written in this Megillah. We'll try to give over the gist of it, and we'll discuss their opinions as to why that's the case. But I highly recommend later on this evening, or after the shir, after Shacharis, on the way to work, wherever, whenever, however, but feel free to go through it, it'll clarify itself a little bit more. So, where does he begin from? Maybe Imlo Shachav Ish V'Gomer. Right? And if she doesn't sleep with him, Veskisotis Tachas Ishech, and if she strays from underneath her husband, Ve'eno Kosev, and then, right, so we have these chunk of psukim there, about probably 15 psukim or so, in Parshas Naso, and now the various opinions are going through which psukim are in, which psukim are out in this Megillah that is written. Ve'eno kosev ishbias ha-kohen eisha, and we don't write that the Kohen makes her swear. Ve'kosev, then we do write again, yitin Hashem osach, le'olah v'leshvua u'bo amayim hamarim ha'ela, b'me'ayach l'tzvos boten u'nefal v'lnafil yarech. Right? And then we do include that whole process there about what happens to her when she drinks the water and she is she's guilty. Thank you. Her stomach explodes, etc. Ve'eno kosev v'amar ihaisha amen amen. And then we don't write the fact that she says amen amen. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says no. Right? So this is, I think, the most expansive opinion where we have the most in. Rabbi Yossi says no. Ve'eno kosev. Sorry, Rabbi Yossi says lo hayamafsek. Sorry, Rabbi Yossi is the most expansive opinion because he says we don't stop. Just write all the psukim. We don't stop where then the dialogue changes and who speaks. But Rabbi Yossi says that we write everything. We write the whole thing straight. Rabbi Yehuda, who limits it more, Omer kol atzmo inokosev. Right, you don't write all that. Elo, so what do you write? Yikan Hashem osach le'olav l'shvua b'chulu ubo amayim arim o'ela b'me'ayach v'gomer. Ve'eno kosev amrisha. I mean, he has the most limited opinions. We have the Tanakama, we have the middle opinion, Rabbi Yossi, who has the most expansive, he says everything, and then Rabbi Yehuda, who limits it the most. Now, the Gemara is going to go through for the next few lines the opinions as to why they each include or exclude what they actually say. B'may kamiflagi, what are they arguing about in terms of what to include, what not to include? The high krok miflagi. They're talking about the following pasuk. V'kosav es ha'olos ha'ela ha'kohen. And the Kohen writes these curses ba'sefer, inside of a sefer. So let's rip apart the pasuk. Let's analyze it a little bit. Rabbi Meir savar alos. This is, by the way, in pasuk chaf. It's the G's, right? It's the guilty that I couldn't take before and the gimel here. Anyways, G's. Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, and okay, so there we go. B'hai Kra Kamifli, they're talking about the following Pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, wow, Baruch Hashem. V'chosav es ha'alos ha'ela ha'koin v'sefer. Rimeir savar alos mamish. Rimeir says that these curses we're referring to are the actual curses. When it says alos, it's the curses. Ha'alos, when it says the word ha'alos, hey is redundant, hey is superfluous. What do we learn from the word ha or the letter ha'alos? L'rabos klolos ha'bos machmas brachos. So he includes, Rabbi Meir includes here, a more expansive type of opinion, and that this means that we're also going to include the klolos that come from the brachos, which means that if you didn't do it, you'll be rewarded, which is a blessing in a disguise. Therefore, because it says ha'alos, not just alos the curses, but it's also the good kind of curses that can come out if she is innocent. Eila, what does it mean? These lema'ute klolos shev Mishnah Torah comes to exclude the klolos that are in Mishnah Torah, which are in Devarim, which are the curses in Devarim in Perek Chavches, where Moshe curse all who don't do the will of Hashem. But here we limit it to just the Sota. Ha'ela, lema'ute tzavos v'kabalos amen. When it says the word ha'ela, this comes to exclude, right, the tzavos, and when she says amen, amen, those psukim at the end. Rabbi Yossi, what does Rabbi Yossi say, who says that we read everything? How does he explain his opinion in the context that we just said, with the words that seem to be expand, right, that seems to limit it? Kulu kidka amrit. It's all as you said before, but S, the rabos, savos, the kabalos. But S comes to include the savos and the kabalos, and therefore it can all be written. Rabbi Meir, what does Rabbi Meir seem to say? Why does he exclude savos and kabalos? Esim lo darsh. Rabbi Meir does not learn anything extra from the S, whereas Rabbi Yossi did. right? The S comes to include. Rabbi Meir did not. Does anybody, does that ring a bell for anybody? Okay. Whether or not S is Darsh. Excellent, Ellie. What was the story? One of my favorite stories in Shas. It's brought up four times across Shas. It's clearly a highlight, right? We'll read it from Sachem. Chaf Beis Amid Beis. This is just beautiful, right? Whether or not we're Medarish the Esim in the Torah, we're most of the way down on Chaf Beis Amid Beis in Maseches Psachim. Here we go. Kitatanya. Shimon Hamsuni. Famous Shimon Hamsuni. Vamrila Nechemia Hamsuni. I was trying to search for it last night, and it was late. I'm like, how do I search? Where is the story? Because I couldn't find it anywhere here, and I was trying to find where I can quote it. So I quoted it into Google. You know, how do you spell Hamsuni? So I was doing various variations. You know what, Hebrew words when you're trying to just put it into English? And anyway, so it was so much fun. And then tons of articles and everything come up, and everybody's quoting it, and everybody. Anyways, it's fine. So there's a lot of mustard just in the pashtos of this story. It's beautiful. So Shimon Hamsuni, or some say Nechemia Hamsuni, Hayadorish Kolasim Shabbat Torah. Every S in the entire Torah, he was Medarish. Can you imagine? When I heard this a long time ago from Rabbi Rosner, he was saying, can you imagine? This is like his magnum opus. Every S, Bresha, right? Bresha's Bola Kim, S Hashmai Vesar, every single S, he was Medarish something else from the Torah. Can you imagine how much time it took? Right? Kevin Shiyah, but he had one left. The S Hashem Elokecha Tira. When it came to the words Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, we should fear Hashem, our God, it says the word Es. He says, Pirish. That's it. I'm done. Nothing else can be included. How can we include something else into fearing, into being in awe of Hashem? So he was done. So Amrlo Talmidav, his student, said to him, Rebbe, kol Esim Shadarashta, Mate Alan. But Rebbe, you spend so much time on this. There's other beautiful shots. Can't you just skim this over? You know, when a person is giving a speech or whatever, he has a whole research project and something just doesn't make sense. You just kind of fudge it over. He spent years of his life doing this. So what does he respond? Amar Lahem, which is the line we've got to remember forever. Kishem shekibalti schar al adrisha. Just like I received schar on being medarish every S in the Torah, kachani mikabel schar al aprisha. So too, I'm going to be mekabel. I'm going to get tzchar on every single S that I did not dorish, that I stopped. Torah is about MS. That's it. It's not a matter of having the best pshat or being right and sheer. It's a matter of striving for truth. That was Nechemia Hamsuni or Shimon Hamsuni. Achba Rabbi Akiva continues the story with a little twist. Oh, then as Eli said, Rabbi Akiva came along and says what? V'dorish es Hashem l'kachotira. Right? What does that pasuk mean? L'rabos talmidei chachamim. Right, it can include something. Rabbis, there we go. We're good. Rebbe, your years of work, I fixed it. You're okay. Did he not know that? Did he not? Great. You know this genius opinion from Rebbe Akiva. I heard it brought down. I think I heard this brought down from Rebbe Rosner, and I forget who. It was a long, long time ago. How was Rebbe Akiva able to come up with this with Abshah, but his Rebbe was not? Great, so there's another opinion that's brought down. That what? Who is Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe? Shimon or Nechemia Hamsuni. To have such a Rebbe who could separate himself from such a pshat as Hashem l'kecha tira, the rabbis tell me l'chachamim. Tov. But, okay, even just the story itself, even without that extra added element, just the story itself is unbelievable. But we should recognize, certainly the muster in that end, to attach ourselves to such a miyachamim, a Rebbe, a Rav, a Shul, we all have the source of being here, to be able to attach ourselves, to be able to learn in all aspects of life. Okay, but landing back right on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph of Masechet Sota, we're deep in a machlokas as to which parts of the psukim in Parshas Naso the Kohen is going to write on the Megillah. And we said the Rebbe Meir is not Medarish Esen Torah. I guess afterwards it became a machlokas. Some people are, some people aren't. Some people agreed with Rebbe Akiva, maybe some people did not. But it seems like Rebbe Meir is not Medarish to Esen in the Torah. Rebbe Yehuda, who is the most limited opinion in the Mishnah, Kul b'miyute darish lo, he takes everything to be like a miyut, an exclusion. What? Elo, alos, the curses, alos mamash. That's only those specific ones. Ha alos, limaute klos habos machas barach. So he excludes that which the others included. Eila limute klos shabbat Mishnah Torah. That comes to exclude the clause that are Mishnah Torah. Ha'ela limutei tzavos ha'kabalos. And ha'ela is coming to exclude everything at the end, which was when she was saying Amen, Amen. Rebbe Meir, Maishna Hai Heidz Mirabi Bey. If we take a look up, we saw that Rebbe Meir took one of the words, which was Ha'alos, and then he took the word Ha'ela, right? That there's an extra hey in both, he says. One of them was coming to include something, one of them was coming to exclude something. So the Gemara says, Maishna Hai Hei de Mirabi Bey, Maishna Hai Hei de Miyid Bey. Why is one hey coming to include, one hey is coming to exclude? Either hey is an exclusionary word, or it's an inclusionary word. But in the same breath, he's coming to include and exclude on different words with that same hey. How does that make sense? Says the Gemara, a beautiful answer. Hey de gabi de ribuya, ribuhi. A hey that's coming on an inclusionary word in general, that's going to be inclusionary. Hey de gabi de miyuta, miyutahi. The ba has in he. But hey that comes on a miyuta, on an exclusionary word, then the hey is going to add on another layer of being an exclusion. So if you take a look at the words above, right, three lines down from where the Gemara starts, it says ha'olos, l'rabos klolos, right? Because we had the word olos. So we had olos mamash, and we had ha'olos, and because olos was a curse, it was more expansive, inclusionary, so ha'olos included something else. But the word eila was apparently lima'ute, so then ha'ela was more lima'ute. Anyway, so just take a look up there. That's what he says. So the hey goes on whatever the word is. It's the prefix of a word, and if it's inclusionary, great. If it's exclusionary, great. Well, less like the remeir, but wait, does remeir not have the concept of the term? Some sort of like double negative here. But if it says no, then like shouldn't it be yes? Means that if it's like a no, no, then maybe it actually comes to include something. Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Hinak Iksiv. And I have to be open and honest, this one line has like a lot of stuff. I didn't understand it fully, but something along the lines of, he says the word Hinaki. Hinaki, as Rashi explains, Hinaki could be written with the word, hold on a second. Yeah, Hinaki should be written He Yud Nun Kuf Yud. Hinaki. Okay? Right? If she does all this, then Hinaki, right? I think at the end, then she'll have the children, and it's a blessing for her. But Hinaki could also be read, because it's without the extra Yud, the second letter, without the extra Yud, then it could be written as like Hinki, which, as Rashi explains, the about six lines up from where the lines get large. Below Yud, right? Because it doesn't have the extra Yud, the Mishtama Hinaki im lo shachav, right? It's like she'll be cleansed, so to say, if she was innocent. But Tidrosh Hachi, and therefore we should read it like this. Toma tachas ishech, chinki. Then if she was metame under her husband, then chinki. Because we don't have the extra yud, then we kind of add on a little bit to the hey to say ch instead of hey. And chinki, it's like she's going to be choked. So, therefore, because there's some sort of klal about lav atoshamehain, that sometimes lav comes to include yes, Rabbi Tanchum, I think, limits it here because he says that the hinaki is without yud, so we don't have that concept there. I wish I was more clear on that. That's kind of a general outline, but feel free to take a look further. Back to Agadah until the Mishnah on the bottom of the page. Okay. Darsh Rabbi Akiva, famous line, Ish v'isha zachu. Shechina beinehen. If a man and woman are zocha, then the Shechina rests among them. Lo zochu, but if they're not, eish ochalton. If they're not zocha, then an eish consumes them. Rashi, first white line, lo zochu eish ochalton. Shehakadosh Baruch Hu misalik shemo mi beinehen v'nimsa eish. Eish. Famous line, because the word isha and the word ish, well, ish has the extra yud. Isha, aleph shin hey, has the hey. If you take out the yud and then the hey, the yud from ish and the hey from the woman, then you have ish and ish, and Hashem's name is separated. I was looking in the Maral yesterday in the Chidushi Agoros for a while, and he goes through a lot of very deep insights. I wish I could like wrap my head around it immediately and share it. I wasn't fully able to, but very, very powerful and beautiful stuff. Two brief thoughts that we are able to share is that before there was a woman, right, a few weeks ago in the Parsha, before there was woman, before there was Chava, man was not called Ish, he was called Adam. So all of a sudden, once there's a man and woman involved, then we have, and I forget who brings this down, it was brought down in the bottom of the article, once you have man and woman, then all of a sudden there's godliness there. So there's Ish and there's Isha, and people can come together and really live life. There's the potential for godliness there, or the potential for otherwise. And therefore, if they bring Hashem into their home, then there's godliness, but if not, otherwise. The Geras HaKodesh, some say it's by the Ramban, says, that the Aish, the passion marriage is always there, passion people is always there for intimacy or things like that. So he says that if we are able to be Mekadesh our marriages, then the Shekhinah rests with us, even in those most private hidden parts of the marriage itself. But if we're not, then so to say the Aish consumes us, it's just fire, it's just passion, but there's no Kedusha there. And maybe that connects very well to this Gemara. I was thinking the second opinion connects beautiful to what we're saying, is that it's right after Sota. There was passion, there was out. But if there wasn't anything that was connecting it to Hashem and godliness, then it's just an Aish that's consuming them. Amarava, Ud Isha Difa Midish. And the woman seems to be closer to the fire, so to say. Her fire is stronger than the Ish. Hai Mitzarif, Hai Lo Mitzarif. Because if you take a look at the letters, Ish has a Yud between the Aleph and the Shin. Whereas an Isha has Al Shin, there's an Ish there already, and then comes the Hay afterwards. Again, Ayin Sham in the Maral, who explains this further. Amarava Mibne Amatar Haba. How they offer the sota? Why does the Torah say we should have offered dirt by the sota? Because zachsa, if she merits, yotzimena ben kavram avinu. Then if she merits, she'll have a ben, a son like Avram Avinu, diksiv be offer va'efer. He says, I am but, right, dust and ashes. Lo zachsa tachzar la'afra. But if she is not zocha, then she's going to return to the offer. Darish Rava, b'schar she'amar Avram Avinu v'anochi afar va'efer, because Avraham Avinu said, I'm but dust and ashes. Zachu banav lebeis mitzvos. His children got two mitzvos. Efer para, v'ofer sota. The ash of the para duma, and the dirt of the sota. Which is interesting, by the way. This, I think, is the source of what I was saying yesterday on a whim. Remember that comment about dirt and ash? Ash has a past but no future, at least generally. And dirt has no past but can have a future. I think that's what Avram Avinu is saying. I think this was the context that I actually heard that pshat. Anochi afar v'efer. He was so humble to say, I have no past and I have no future. It's not I'm but dust and ashes. I'm meaningless and nothing. But I have no past. I have no future. Hashem, who am I? It was that total humility there in the eyes of Hashem, with the yardstick of Hashem. I was in Yerushalayim yesterday, and I gave somebody hitch into Yerushalayim, and it was amazing. He learns the daf in the morning in the Bialas somewhere, and we were just discussing the daf. It was so cool to have like somebody else, random people, just on the same daf, and I gave over this thought, and I was trying to place it, and he loved it. We were just trying to place where it fits and how it fits into context. Great. Mekonami afar kisoy adam. But wait, we just said that Avraham Avinu was zochet to two mitzvos, the afer of the para and the afar of the sota, which, by the way, the afer of the para brings it brings purity after tuma of tumas meis, right? And then we have the offer of the sota, which brings husband and wife together. So it's a tremendous chos. But wait, but there's also kisui hadam. Says Gemara, no, hasam hechsher mitzvah eka. Thereby kisui hadam that we have to cover over the blood with dirt. It's just a hechsher mitzvah. Meaning it's not a mitzvah itself, but it's just like a nice thing to do afterwards to kind of finish things off. Hana leka, but there's no benefit from it. But whereas here by the paraduma, again, it's mechaper for us, and it's also mechaper for the egel. The paraduma, it's very very big, and the sota brings together shalom between husbands and wives, as Rashi explains. So therefore, the hana is not there, and that's what we're referring to. That when Avraham Avinu says offer of efer, that the offer specifically is not for kisui adam, but the offer, the dirt, is from sota. Darash Rava, more b'schar she'amar Avraham Avinu im michut v'ad srocha nal, right? A little while ago, when Avraham Avinu said, not like in history, but in the Parshios, that Avraham Avinu said that with the War of the Kings, that he will not even benefit a thread or a shoelace. He won't take anything from them. Zahu banav lebeis mitzvos. His children got two mitzvos. It's amazing. Like, he didn't want to take spoils. So what Hashem give him? Mitzvos. Right? Mitzvos, you know, we want to do mitzvos, and good things. Hashem should give us all the opportunity to do more mitzvos than mitzvos. That's true reward for eternity. Chut shel tcheles or ritzua shel tefillin. That the string of tcheles, which was the chut, and the ritzua shel tefillin, which is referring to the shoelace, the sroch now. Bishlam a ritzu shel tefillin. Very good. The ritzu of tefillin. It's the viro kalam eroski. Hashem Hashem nikra alecha. The ritzu of tefillin. That's when the whole world sees it and kind of says, "Wow, Hashem runs the world." Vitanya. Rabbi Elazar got a lomer. Elu tefillin shabarosh. These are the tefillin shabarosh. Elu. But ela chut shel tchelas mahi. But the chut of tchelas. How does that symbolize that Hashem runs the world? Avraham Avinu was demonstrating. I don't want your spoils. Hashem runs the world. I only want to gain from Him. So how does the tchelas represent that? We know that the tefillin does. But how does the tchelas represent that? Famous Gemara right here, the Tanya, Hayirimer Omer Manishtana tchelas Mikol Mine Tzivonin. What is different about tchelas from all the Tzivonin? from all other colors. Because Tcheles looks like the sea. V'yam domel rekia. And the yam looks like the rekia, the sky. The rekia domel kisei kavod. And the rekia, the sky, looks like the kisei kavod. Shnemar v'yirues elokei Yisrael. A pasuk in Sefer Shmos. V'yirues elokei Yisrael. V'tachas ragav kemaisa livnas ha-sapir. U'chetzem ha-shamayim l'teher. U'ksev kemari evan sapir Dimuskise, so we have that sapir, we have the domino effect, and essentially that when we see the string of treles, it brings us to take a look at the water, and then the sky to Kisei HaKavod.
So it actually looks like it, or it makes us think of it? Like the sky looks like Kisei HaKavod, or looking at the sky makes us think of Kisei HaKavod?
Great question.
The ocean looks like the sky.
And the string looks like the ocean.
Yeah, but is the Kisei HaKavod actually looks like that somehow? Whatever that means.
There must be, whatever that means. There's also a lot here in terms of where to take this. Just one thing that I wanted to bring down is that in the Sifri, Rabbi Meir's teaching is going to have a proof, brings a proof from what we're about to say in Shacharis, what we say every day in Shema, twice a day. What is it? Re'isem Oso. Uschartem, right? Re'isem Oso. What do you mean Oso? Oso is what? The tzitzis? The strings. Re'isem Osam. Urisem Oso is by seeing the strings. It's like Urisem Oso. It's like we see the Kisei HaKavod. It's like we see Hashem. And anyways, there's much, much more there. I remember hearing a beautiful pshat. I just didn't remember it more what Ellie's saying in terms of, first of all, when was the last time we looked at our tzitzis or the water and we said, even skip over the tzitzis stage, the water stage. Oh yeah. The water looks like the Rekia. And the Rekia looks like the Kisei, and it reminds us of Hashem. So it must be that there's, there's a deeper connection there. But let's move on now. Mishnah. Inokosev elo al aluach, below al... Inokosev. We don't write the Megillah. More on the Megillah. We don't write the Megillah lo al aluach, not on wood, lo al haniyar, and not on some sort of paper, lo al adiftera, not on some, like unfinished paper. Elo al Megillah, klaf, which is like finished parchment. Hide that has been developed. Shinemar besefer. It says basefer. Inokosev lo bakumus. We shouldn't write with some type of sap from a tree. Veloba kankantom, and not with black paint that's made from pitch. Veloba chol davar shiroshem, nor with nothing that actually makes a real imprint. Elabidyo with ink. Shneimar umacha. It says the word umacha, they were able to erase it. Kosav shiachol lemchos. That has to be writing that can be erased. You know what? Let's do a few more minutes, because we have a few more minutes. It says the Gemara. Let's get on to the top of Yud Chas Manav. That'd be super exciting. Amar Rava, Megillas Sota she kosav alayla, a Megillah Sota that's written by night. Psula, it's possible. My time, why is it possible? Asya Torah. Because we have a Gzer Shavah of the words Torah. Ksiv Hacha, it says by Sota, V'asola Kohen Eskola Torah Zos, that the Kohen should write this whole Torah, which concludes the Parsha, by the way, at the end there. Uksiv Hasam, Alpia Torah Sheriruch Aval HaMishpat. Right? We have the word Torah, and then the word the Mishpat. Mishpat Bayom, Af Megillah Sota Bayom. So too, just like judgment has to be by day, so the Megillah Sota, which is written, the Torah, the Gzer Shavah, has to be done by day. Kosva L'mafreya, Psula, what happens if somebody writes it? A scribe is so great and he writes it backwards. Psula, it can't be. Why? Because of us, ha'ala, ha'alo sa'ela. These curses have to be written up. A pasuk that we mentioned before. Ki dechsiva. It must be written in order. Kosva kodam shetekabalo aleo shvua. What happens if it's written before she accepts the shvua? Psula. Shenemar v'hishpia. V'acharkach v'kosav. In order of the psukim, it says v'hishpia shils. Like the coin will make her swear. And then it's written. It has to be done in that order. Kosva. Igeres. What happens if she wrote it, so to say, with without sirtut? As Rashi explains, right? Igeres, below Sirtut. Sorry?
She wrote it?
Sorry. Kosva, interesting. Did she write it? I don't think so.
Maybe it's referring to the Igeres. Like Kosva.
Maybe. Interesting, yeah?
According to the arch, well, not. I'm just going to look at the arch.
It says he or she.
It says he.
He, yeah.
Kosva, Igeres.
So maybe it's going on the object. Yes.
So Kosva Igeres, thank you. If the Kohen, right, because the Kohen's writing it, as we were discussing, and Mishnah's question is, why is it, hey? If he writes it without Sirtut, Psula, Basefer Amrachmana, because the Torah says the word Basefer, and the last Rashi on the Amid, Basefer Amrachmana, V'halach l'moshe misinai she'asfarm tzrichin Sirtut. Kosva al-shnei dafin, Psula. If he writes it on two dapin, so to say, on two columns, as Rashi on top explains, psula, again, it's possible. Sefer echad am rachman av lo shnayim, that it's got to be like one written thing. Ushlosh velosh, Sefer Echad, Amar Rachmanav lo shnayim u'shlosh asarim. But it shouldn't be two or three books, so to say. It should just be one Igeres. Kasav os achas v'nimchak. Umachak os achas. Now, what happens if he kind of writes a letter, erases it, and writes the next letter? So it's constantly going. And he writes the whole parsha. But at the end, there's only one letter left, as Rashi explains. Alamayim v'chazav kasav os shel achara, umacha ad shishim es kula. Pasol tiksiv es kol Torah, because he has to write the whole Torah. Because of os echas umachas. If he continues that way the whole time, it's possible to exhibit also law calling called Torah Zos. Yes, right, the whole Torah. Top of Yudafas Amad Alf, which is exciting, because hopefully we'll get to the end of the second paragraph, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow's Shir. And then Gil Harris has been to give the Shir, I think, on Friday night, over Chalon here, and he'll have a short adopt to be able to give on Friday night. Okay, I was going to go over the whole thing, but we'll stop here. Rosh Chodesh, by the way, as we discussed, is a whole new beginning, a whole new start. We said that beautiful shot about the women the other day, and why it's there, Rosh Chodesh. But it's new beginnings. Let's all be able to have an awesome day. Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow let's do... Should we do after Shacharis tomorrow, just because it's early? Like, is everybody okay to come at 5:50 on a Friday morning?
I can't do after Shacharis, but whatever you want.
Can't do after Shacharis. You can't do after Shacharis.
So I have to take...
Great.
Yeah, that's easier for me before also.
5:50 is awesome. Great. So Bezrat Hashem 5:50 tomorrow. Have a great day and a Chodesh Tov.